So, it was the beginning of July when me, Leela, and Jess pulled into the driveway of our rented beach house at Gilgo Beach. We were so ready for the weekend, an escape from the city, some sun, a few drinks, and just chilling by the ocean. The place was perfect, too. This cute little beach house with these huge windows that looked right out at the ocean. It felt like our own little slice of paradise. The beach was quiet that morning, almost too quiet. It didn't disturb us. We were in full vacation mode. By the time we unpacked, it was already dawn, and we decided to take a splash while the beach was still quite unpopulated. The sky was all orange and pink as we ran toward the water, laughing and splashing around. The ocean felt so refreshing, and we were having the time of our lives, until I noticed him. At first, I didn't even give it a second glance. There was this guy standing by the dunes, far enough away that I couldn't really make out his face, but something about him felt off. He wasn't moving, just standing there, staring right at us.
Do you guys see that?
I asked, my voice shaking just a little. Jess and Leela both turned to look. The guy started walking towards us. I swear, the closer he got, the more I wished we'd never come out here. He towered in a crumpled-up button-down shirt and jeans, which, at the beach, seemed kind of weird. His hair covered his face, but I could see his mouth. He had one of those creepy grins like he was enjoying something that only he knew. The hair tickled my dermis.
You girls out for a swim?
His voice was rough, as if he hadn't spoken in days. Leela tried to brush it off.
We're just going in.
He did not move. His eyes kept drifting to Jess, who was still wasted to her waist in the water. Then, he grinned again, bigger, if that was possible.
You ought to drop by my camp,
he said, nodding to the trees across the dunes.
It's over there. It'd be nice to have a drink and get out of the wind.
No thanks.
Jess snapped, visibly creeped out. He looked at her for a second and chuckled to himself, like he was laughing at the whole thing.
You sure? You'd like it. Quiet spot. Good stories.
I felt my guts twist.
We're leaving,
I said, trying to sound confident, and we all started walking back towards the house. I could feel his eyes on us the entire way. That grin was still plastered on his face. We locked the door in the house and tried to shake it off.
He was probably just some weirdo,
Leela said, though none of us believed it. We were all on edge, glancing at the windows now and then, half expecting him to pop up again. We tried to unwind with a movie and wine that night. Big windows that overlooked the beach were beautiful in daylight, but as it got darker outside, they felt like giant black holes. They all could be out there watching.
My God, I feel like someone's out there,
Jess whispered, darting her eyes towards the windows. I attempted to laugh it off.
You're just freaking yourself out.
But deep down, I felt it too. It was too quiet, too still. And then, a noise, a thunderous bang from outside, really made us jump.
What was that?
Leela asked, her voice quivering. Boom, louder than the first, came seemingly from the back of the house. I stood up slowly, beating my heart with my chest. I opened the curtain. Blood iced the veins. There was a handprint smeared across the window, as if someone had pressed it there and dragged it down. It was stained red.
Oh my God,
I whispered, backing up. In time, Jess and Leela ran over, and both of our faces settled perfectly still.
That looks bad,
Leela said, digging around her for her phone.
We should call the cops.
And here we all were, packed into the room, looking out the window, waiting for the police. But just before they arrived, we heard something else, some kind of scraping, slow and deliberating, like someone was dragging something along the walls outside the house. The sound was moving, circling the house, getting louder with every pass. By the time the cops arrived, there was nothing to hear. The fella was out of there, and all they had were footprints in the sand and the blood on the window. Cops said probably some local foolishness, but his face told me he didn't believe it. We hardly slept that night. Every little noise made us jump, and every creak of the house seemed to be a threat. Around 3 a.m., I think I heard something, a soft knock on the window, as if someone was tapping on it just barely loud enough to notice. I did not check it. I couldn't. The very next morning, we packed up and left very early. We did not want to be there anymore. Not one of us spoke a word on the way home. It was like we all wanted to forget it ever happened. 3 years later, I was scrolling through my phone when something stopped me dead in my tracks.
Serial killer arrested in connection to Gilgo Beach murders.
I clicked on the article, and there he was, the guy from the beach. The same creepy grin that danced in my head was staring back at me from the mugshot. My heart dropped into my stomach as I realized what could have happened to us that weekend. I quickly sent the article to Leela and Jess, my hands shaking.
It was him.
I typed, barely able to believe it. He, who was outside our window, tracked us, left his bloody handprint, is a dreaded killer. We narrowly avoided a cruel monster. I never imagined inheriting anything from Aunt Clara. She was the black sheep of the family, mysterious, reclusive, and whispered about it in hushed tones at family gatherings. When I learned she had left me her beach house, where she was found dead, I was conflicted. Let's make an adventure out of it, my boyfriend Alex had suggested. With his tousled blonde hair and infectious grin, he could make any situation feel safe. So, we packed up his old Jeep and headed to the coast. As we pulled up to the house, a chill ran down my spine. The once grand Victorian stood weathered and decaying, its paint peeling like dead skin. The ocean roared behind it, waves crashing against jagged rocks.
It's giving more haunted house than beach house.
It's just old. Let's find out what we can make of it. We stepped inside, greeted by a musty scent and dust particles dancing in the stale air. The floors creaked underfoot, and faded portraits lined the walls, stern ancestors whose eyes seemed to follow us. While exploring, we stumbled upon a door hidden behind a heavy bookshelf. We heaved the shelf aside, revealing a narrow staircase descending into darkness. Should we go down?
We came for an adventure, right?
Armed with flashlights, we descended into the basement. Strange symbols were etched into the stone walls, circles, stars, and unfamiliar runes. At the center stood an altar draped in crimson cloth, adorned with candles, bones, and a locket I recognized as Aunt Clara's.
What was she into?
Alex picked up a worn book from the altar. Looks like some kind of journal. That night, sleep eluded me. When I finally drifted off, vivid nightmares consumed me. I saw Aunt Clara, her long silver hair flowing as she chanted in a language that grated against my ears. Shadowy figures danced around a fire, and the symbols from the basement glowed ominously. I jolted awake, heart pounding. The room was cold, and the curtains fluttered, despite the windows being closed. Over the next days, the unease grew. Objects didn't stay where we left them. The old radio turned on by itself, playing static-laden tunes from decades past. Alex seemed distant.
Are you feeling okay?
Just tired. This place is giving me the creeps.
Should we leave?
No. I spoke with a contractor. He'll come and help us estimate the costs of renovation. He snapped more than usual, his patience wearing thin over trivial matters. Determined to uncover the truth, I delved into Aunt Clara's journal. Her neat handwriting detailed her involvement with a group seeking eternal life through soul transference.
She believed she could cheat death.
The final entry chilled me to the bone. The vessel must be of my bloodline, or one bound by love to it. The ritual nears completion. That is when a floorboard creaked behind me. What are you reading? His voice was flat, devoid of emotion.
Just some of Aunt Clara's writings. She was disturbed.
He stepped closer, shadows casting his face in darkness. Maybe you should leave it alone. That night, the nightmares intensified. I saw Alex standing beside Aunt Clara, both chanting as they advanced toward me. I awoke to find him gone from bed. Panic set in.
Alex, where are you?
I found him in the basement, standing before the altar, the symbols on the walls pulsating with a faint glow.
Alex, what are you doing?
He turned slowly, a sinister smile creeping across his face.
She chose me, Nadia. It's an honor.
I backed away, fear gripping me.
You're scaring me. Let's go back upstairs.
He advanced towards me.
Don't you see? She promised me eternity.
I dashed up the stairs, slamming the door behind me. My mind raced. I had to do something. The journal suddenly made sense. I frantically searched for a way to reverse the ritual. Pages stuck together until I found a passage about breaking the connection. The ritual must have an anchor. Destroying the anchor would sever the connection. The locket on the altar. It had to be the anchor. Gathering my courage, I headed back to the basement. But surprisingly, Alex was nowhere in sight. I grabbed the locket, its metal cold against my skin. That is when Alex's heavy voice echoed from the stairs.
You can't stop us!
Carefully, I looked up, only to realize that he was sticking like a lizard to the ceiling of the basement. I screamed in fear and he lunged at me, but I dodged, racing up the stairs and out onto the beach. The moon cast an eerie glow on the restless sea. I could hear footsteps behind me.
Leave me alone!
He caught up, grabbing my wrist with an iron grip.
It's too late. She will live again.
Desperate, I yanked free and accidentally hurled the locket into the ocean. A piercing scream suddenly filled the air, not just from Alex, but layered with Aunt Clara's voice. He collapsed onto the sand, convulsing. I knelt beside him as his breathing steadied, his eyes fluttering open. Relief washed over me. We left the beach house that very night, the first rays of dawn breaking as we drove away. We never returned there. I put it up for sale and decided to move on. I had been planning the beach trip for weeks, a chance to unwind before finals and celebrate turning 21. My Uncle Robert had offered his luxurious beach house, a modern glass structure perched on a private stretch of coastline. It was the perfect getaway, and my friends couldn't wait. As we pulled up the long driveway, the house stood like a jewel against the backdrop of waves. My friend Mia leaned out of the car window in amazement. Ethan and Liam, our friends from college, unloaded the bags while Sarah, always the photographer, snapped pictures of everything. Inside, the house was even more impressive. Open spaces, sleek furnishings, and floor-to-ceiling windows offering panoramic ocean views. We chose our rooms and settled in, laughter filling the halls. That afternoon, we hit the beach. The water was perfect, and the stress of school melted away. Later, as we lounged on the deck, Mia frowned at her phone.
That's weird. Everything okay?
She showed me a photo on her screen. It was of her, from earlier today, standing on the beach. But the angle was off, as if taken from a distance.
I didn't take this. And no one else had my phone. Maybe you took it by accident?
Mia shook her head.
I know my photos. This wasn't me.
We tried to laugh it off, but an uneasy feeling settled among us. That evening, Sarah went to shower. Later, she emerged, wrapped in a robe, her dark hair dripping.
Did someone come into the bathroom?
No. Why?
My towel's gone. I took yours.
We searched, but it was gone. A couple of hours later, a scream echoed from her room. We rushed in to find Sarah staring at her bed. There lay her towel, neatly folded, with a note on top. I see you. Ethan's eyes narrowed. Be funny, guys. We all denied it. The moon shifted from playful to tense. That night, as darkness enveloped the house, I heard faint footsteps above. I sat up in bed, listening. The steps moved slowly, deliberately. I nudged Mia, who was sharing the room.
Is there someone on the roof?
We woke the others and sent the boys to investigate, who found nothing. The next morning, Liam decided to take a swim to clear his head. When he returned, his face was pale. All right, who's messing with me? He pointed to his shoes, which were hanging atop a tree near the patio. Ethan glanced around suspiciously.
Could there really be someone spying on us?
Determined to uncover the truth, we agreed to search the house thoroughly. In one of the guest bedrooms, Ethan noticed the air vent looked tampered with.
Hand me a chair.
He stood up and peered inside, then recoiled.
There's a camera in there.
What?
He pulled out a small device, wires trailing behind it.
Why would there be a camera?
A heavy silence fell. We gathered in the living room.
Do you think someone's been watching us?
Liam paced.
This is insane. Who would do this?
Maybe someone broke in.
But there were no signs of forced entry. The realization hit me like a wave.
What if it's someone we know?
All eyes turned to me.
My uncle has always been eccentric.
I recalled how eager he was for us to visit, the odd way he smiled when he handed me the keys.
I don't know, but we need to get out of here.
We hurried to pack our things, but as we approached the front door, it slammed shut. Uncle Robert stood there, his usually neat appearance disheveled, eyes wild red.
Leaving so soon?
Mr. Hayes? What's going on?
He smiled eerily.
Just ensuring my guests are entertained.
Ethan stepped forward.
The game's just begun.
Panic set in. We backed away as he advanced.
Why are you doing this?
He chuckled.
Observation, my dear. To capture raw emotion, fear, desperation. It's pure art.
Liam lunged, trying to push past him, but Uncle Robert was surprisingly strong, shoving him back and pulling out a gun.
Now, no need for violence.
Ethan grabbed a lamp, smashing it against the wall to create a distraction. We scattered, racing through the house. I could hear Uncle Robert's footsteps behind us, his laughter echoing. I ducked into the study, searching for anything that could help. On the desk lay a series of photographs, candid shots of us from the weekend, each one more invasive than the last.
We need to find another way out. The basement. There's a door that leads outside.
We regrouped and made our way to the basement. The room was filled with monitors, displaying live feeds from hidden cameras. Our every move had been watched. Sarah covered her mouth, but then Uncle Robert's voice boomed over a speaker.
There's no escape.
Ethan found a metal rod and pried open a small window. One by one, we crawled out into the night. Outside, the wind howled and the waves crashed violently against the shore. We sprinted toward the car, but the tires were slashed.
What now?
Headlights appeared in the distance, a car approaching. Desperate, we waved it down. It was a police cruiser. I rushed forward.
Please help us. My uncle's trying to hurt us.
That is when Uncle Robert emerged from the house, his face twisted in rage.
You're mine!
The officer got us into the car, radioed for backup, and sped away. At the station, we learned the truth. Uncle Robert had a history of voyeurism and psychological manipulation. The authorities had been tracking him after previous incidents, but he'd always evaded capture.
I can't believe I didn't see it. I should have known something was off.
Ethan put his arm around me.
You couldn't have predicted this.
My uncle was imprisoned, but using his pull, he got out in just 8 months. He promised that he wouldn't contact us again, but with such a sick person out, there's always that terrible feeling of being watched upon.